Good morning, Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. John McClain in with us, brought to us by Horn Solutions. Ask McClain anything, 713-572-4610. When you go to Waco, what is your favorite restaurant to eat at?
You talking about to me?
George's.
Yes. George's, I just got back from Waco, and there's two George's, which I never miss. It's always packed. Thank goodness I'll know the owner, and he'll save me a table. And then there's a place called Cups Drive-In, also close to Baylor's. Been there 70 years. A little hole in the wall. It's got the best burgers I've ever seen. And speaking of Waco, on the, let's see, the 24th of July, Matt Rhule will be at the Touchdown Club of Houston. And it's Baylor, annual Baylor Day, and you can go on touchdownclub.org for information. But it's the first time Matt Rhule would have been down here making a speech to the Baylor fans since he was hired.
When you go to George's, though, McClain, a lot of your Baylor people, I'm not saying you're one of them, they might get that drink, but they keep it real low. They kind of hide it a little bit under the table.
Nobody hides a big O at George's. You can't hide a big O.
Those things
are monstrous.
Might pour it in another cup or something, like in a coffee mug.
Baylor people love to drink.
Let me give a free shout out here. I went to a place called Taco Deli on Washington yesterday for breakfast. Really good.
Really good.
Was it really?
Very, very good.
What did you have?
I had three different kinds of tacos. I had a beef, like a ribeye thing. I had a chicken and a shrimp, and they were tremendous.
For breakfast?
For breakfast, yes. I had breakfast at like noon. Don't judge me.
I found a food truck that was the best tacos I've ever had, and they were a dollar.
Where? Here?
Man, I don't even know where I was. I know how to get there, but I just don't know where it was. I'm going to have to look this up in my navigation.
See if you can figure it out.
It was in Yorktown. It was in Yorktown, on the way to the movie theater.
On Yorktown?
On 6. It was on Highway 6. It was just on the right. It was right past the McDonald's. I'll be a little more descriptive, but I don't even think it has a name. And they don't take credit. And if you're like me and you cheated your way through Spanish and you can't speak Spanish very well, you're not going to be able to ask a lot of questions when you order. You're just going to have to kind of point and say, yeah, you're going to have to try to sound something
out. I'm sure they get
out.
A lot of that.
What did John McClain do for the 4th of July?
Well, for yesterday, I watched the Astros and sat around and did nothing. Over the weekend, I went to Waco for my 35th softball reunion and hung out with my friends, and that's always a lot of fun. And went to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, but that was the weekend. Yesterday, I was just doing nothing, waiting for the Astros, and watched some other baseball games during the day.
I'm going to edit one question and ask, what was the most challenging radio situation you've had in your career, like the biggest challenge, either the situation or someone you work with? What was the most challenging thing?
Oh God, I've been doing this since 1976 in Houston, regularly since 85. The most challenging situation, I'm not going to say who it is, but there was a host that we had at KTRH where I was for a long time, and he thought he knew everything, and he messed up a lot of stuff. And my wife, Carol, we were dating, and she said, if you let him continually put out bad information and don't correct him, people
looks bad on you.
You don't know the difference. And I said, I just can't do that because his ego is such that he couldn't take it. So I just couldn't do it. And he was run after a short period. Another time I was on a station, I can't say what it was, but Ed Fowler, our former columnist, he and I were, I guess it was between contracts or something, because I was doing KTRH. I'll tell you, it was KSEV, and Dan Patrick had just bought it. So Ed was the
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick. Not the Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
No, the lieutenant governor.
Yes.
And Ed Fowler and Dan hated each other when Dan was on Channel 11 as sportscaster, and Ed was our main columnist. They used to get into it outside dressing rooms. So Dan bought KSEV with the help of some Baylor buddies of mine, and he called Ed, said, hey, you want to take this feud on the radio? And so Ed goes, sure. And so Ed had a show, and he asked me if I'd come on as a guest once. So I said yes, but he didn't have the button that you hit to take out a call. And one time this guy called us, and I'm trying to see how I can word this. And he said, we're talking about the Astros, and he said, let me ask you guys, we got some trivia on the Astros. And he sounded as normal as could be. I guess I could probably say this now. And he said, who's the Astros' all-time RBI leader? Bob Watson. He said, who's, and he asked a couple other questions, and we knew him, and he's talking about who led hits batsmen, and Bob Watson, he said, who led in balls to the face, and said, Bob Watson, he goes, no, Liberace, you know, Liberace had died that day.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Too soon. You could not get away.
My response was, well, man, you probably ought to know. And he set us up so bad, and so I've always been very careful.
With calls?
About anything somebody says. Well, it's the only time I've ever been on somewhere that couldn't hit the button to delay
it. The dump button.
And that was very awkward. And only one time have I said a word that I shouldn't say. It was
what
did
it start
letters,
with?
Start with an S.
Ooh.
And it got out. And I'll tell you one other story about radio. I'm sorry. Back in 1976, my first road trip for hockey. We're in Quebec City. Jerry Trupiano.
Yep.
Sports Boys of the Southwest, king of talk shows here, but he's also the play-by-play guy of the Arrows. And we're in Quebec City. I'd never been anywhere. And I'm sitting there next to him, and he said, would you like to go on the radio? And I said, I've never been on the radio. He said, well, I'll just ask you some questions. I said, don't ask me anything about hockey. He said, why? I said, I don't know anything about it. He said, how'd you get this job? I said, it's a long story. He said, okay, I'll just ask you about you and some other questions about being in Quebec City at the Coliseum, Le Colisée. So I said, okay, and I'm looking around, and I noticed at every exit they had these women that were just incredibly good-looking, and they all wore tight red skirts, tight red sweaters.
Respect.
Red pillbox hats like Jackie Kennedy. And they stood at attention with their arms behind their back. And, in other words, their posture was perfect. And I'm looking around. He slides a mic over. And I'm looking. I hear him go, what do you think about your first trip to Le Colisée? And I said, I can't believe the women got such big. And this word started with a T. And he goes, yeah. He said,
were they fake back then, or was that
said,
just all real?
You can take the boy out of Waco, but you can't take Waco out of the boy. We're going to go to the break. And we're going to get back to you if the FCC still allows us to be on the radio. And he says, we'll be right back. He said, you can't talk like that on the radio. I said, I didn't know I was on the radio. He said, what do you think I was doing with that mic? I said, but you didn't give me any headphones like you. He said, I'm communicating with him back in the studio. I said, oh. I said, I've told you I've never been on the radio. He said, do you think you can talk without saying words like that? And I said, yes, of course. And so I thought my radio career was over.
That's
after
awesome.
My first appearance, but either nobody was listening or nobody cared. And so only one time since then, when I let out an SH by accident a couple years ago, was the only other time I've slipped since 1976.
Still going strong. John, we're not condoning this. We're not speaking against it. But you were in a band, and you said that marijuana used to be smoked back in the day, right? I mean, I don't think it's too much of a reach to say that.
I think marijuana smoked in the day, all in the day, back in the day, today, and everything.
When you used to partake in this activity, what form did you smoke it in? Did you smoke it out?
I got to plead the fifth.
Okay, this is
leading the fifth.
I made McClain plead the fifth the first time ever.
That was in the '60s when I was 17, and
that was a joint then, right?
That was a joint.
Yeah, joints in the '60s.
I don't think they had bongs or things like that. People just passed around joints like crazy.
Not the PEDs. What is your drink of choice?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
What about alcohol?
If I'm drinking anything, it'd be wine, red wine.
Okay. Civilized. What's the most expensive bottle of red wine you've had?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I have no clue. I would never pay a lot of money because I'm too easily impressed. So I don't pay a lot of money.
I actually bought my most expensive bottle of red wine this weekend because I need to give it to somebody as a gift.
Are you still trying to apologize to that girl?
No.
How much did you pay?
I paid $100 at Costco.
Wow.
But no, this is actually not. This is actually to a male.
Wait, what?
Someone who did me a huge favor, and he doesn't even really know me that well.
Why don't you just give him a gift card?
Does he like red wine?
What?
Does he like red wine?
Yeah, I checked to make sure he likes
red
wine.
He'll appreciate that.
I think so. It was like, it was, the, I, because it's like, I someone did me a huge favor, which I basically can't repay them for, but I don't know them that well. So it's like, what can I really repay them with?
You know, red wine and Dr. Pepper is actually a really good mix.
Really?
Very. Trust me. I'm a mixologist. I'm just telling you.
You're a mixologist?
Red wine, I can mix some drinks.
Interesting. Are you a bartender?
No. I play one at parties, but yeah, if you mix some red wine and you mix some Dr. Pepper, you like Sour Patch Kids too? This is another thing, Meltzer.
I like Sour Patch Kids.
If you like Sour Patch Kids, go get you some of that Berry Ciroc vodka. Get you some lemonade from Chick-fil-A. Mix it together, and it tastes just like Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I'm telling you.
John, what did you think of the Chris Paul acquisition?
I thought it was incredible. I can't wait to see him play with the Rockets. Has he had a news conference yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. I'm guessing...
Is he out of the country?
No, I think that he's been in L.A. I'm guessing they're going to do something with him and P.J. Tucker at some point this week.
I think it's tremendous. I like the addition of P.J. Tucker. One thing I like about Daryl Morey, he's always stirring the pot. I always think of Daryl like a mad scientist with his hair standing straight up, kind of like Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future, that he's back there in front of the computer just trying to figure what he can concoct. And most of what everything he does is exciting, gets people pumped. And I've always liked Chris Paul. Can't wait to see he and Harden playing together and how it affects the Rockets overall. Everybody's talking about the Rockets and the Warriors. Then you talk about the Rockets and the Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
That loss they
fair.
Just had was one of the worst in our city's history. They should have won that series. So they need to get past the Spurs before we're all talking about beating competing with Golden State.
This is from Brian, who right now is a business major at A&M, and he's got a year left to graduate. Mm. Until he now realizes he doesn't want to do business, and he'd much rather do sports journalism.
Run.
However, he can't bring himself to switch his major and spend 2, possibly 3 more years in College Station. Does he have any advice or guidance for his situation? I have some guidance, but this is Ask McClain Anything, so I'll go with you, John, first.
Brian, I'm going to tell you this. If you understand the pitfalls of journalism right now, it's not really journalism. We were talking at Baylor the other day about, do they still have a major in journalism? Because there's not much accountability. It's one reason I like newspapers, is there's still accountability. But so you're on a website, you know, look and see, study journalism, study what's out there, read about it, and see, do I want to get involved in this? Like Fox Sports.com just fired 20 people that write and edit. There's a big story. New York Times going to lay off all these copy editors.
Which is a big deal.
Which is a huge deal, because copy editors, we don't just turn in stories and they look exactly the same. The copy editors help us. So if the New York Times, which is having an all-time high of hits, clicks because of Trump, is doing that, it can happen to anybody. So it's not a good time to get into journalism, but if you understand that, it's a great profession. It can be talk shows, TV, websites. There's still newspapers are going to be around for a long time. And so if you understand that, then I would say jump into it feet first. It's such an incredible profession. I haven't worked a day since I mowed yards in Waco before I start working at the Waco Tribune Herald.
My response would be, I actually think it's fine to go into the business without having a degree in the business.
For sure.
One of my few regrets is actually not double majoring in college. Like, I have a friend of mine who...
You have few regrets?
I have a few regrets.
You lived a good life, my man.
I mean, I probably have more than just a few, but that's one of my regrets, is not double majoring in college in something, business, economics, whatever, because you can take that major and you can combine it with sports, and you're not just someone with a journalism degree, but you have a background in something else that you can then apply, and you can look at things a bit differently. Like, one of the reasons why I think Bomani Jones has become a big star at ESPN is you don't see many people who have, like, multiple economics degrees like he does. And I think that part of the reason why he thinks the way he does is based on his academic background. So
I don't remember anything I learned at Baylor other than journalism and English.
Yeah.
By the way, have y'all talked about Jamie Horowitz yet?
We have not talked about
that
him.
That is the big story of the weekend to me.
That is a big story. Let's hold off on that for about 15 minutes before we get to Jamie Horowitz.
He was all about it. Meltzer
I was all about
that
it.
Story. I kind of hiked my leg on it a little bit.
What is John McClain's favorite food to eat off the grill?
Off the grill would be, I love cheeseburgers. I love barbecue. One of those two. I love everything's bad for you.
Steak?
Steak, of course.
A little bit of steak.
I don't eat as much steak as I look like.
You like fajitas. I heard you talk
about
that this weekend.
I like all kinds of chicken. I like chicken and beef fajitas. I love cheeseburgers and I love barbecue.
All right, John, you have a table for four. It's you and you get to invite three guests, but they have to be active members of the Houston sports team. So it can be players or coaches. Table for four, McLean, fill the table up.
I would want to have Jose Altuve. I've always wanted to talk to him. I wish that we had I'm sure you guys feel this way. There are athletes that I would like to sit down with, not write about them, just talk to them.
Yeah.
Because they're so interesting to me. I watched Altuve at the home run last night.
He's always happy.
He's got such a great attitude. I would like to sit down with him in a situation like this, talk about his life, what's inside him, what allows him to play the way he does. You know, he's up at 3:30 again. It's just amazing. Jose Altuve's got a chance of being in Baseball Hall of Fame.
For sure.
Oh, and, definitely. Yeah.
And J.J. Watt, I talked to J.J. quite a bit, but not a long time. Probably the longest I've ever talked to him, like 20 minutes, when he came in our office a couple times to talk about stories. But I find Watt, in what he's done since he got here, not on the field, we've seen that, but off the field, just blows me away. A kid from Pewaukee who came from his background to where he is right now. And then I would love to talk to the beard.
James Harden.
Yes, I would love to talk to Harden about
it's gonna be popping at
his
that table.
Life, about his beard, his life, about everything about him. Was it three others?
Yeah, those three.
Others,
right?
So that's a nice table.
Would be the three from our team. There's so many. I'd love to talk to Carlos Correa, Dallas Keuchel. I thought when Lance McCullers was in here, when I was in here, I thought, man, you got
it. Sharp.
It's a long way away. But you're such a natural to do media.
All-star Lance McCullers.
So comfortable in here talking to the media like he was born for it. And so there's a lot of Astros. I'd love to talk to Chris Paul when he gets in here. I think he would be fascinated. I could sit down with Daryl Morey sometime. And I've talked to Daryl. It's been a long time. But I would love to pick his brain during a meal.
You know who might be underrated also on the GM level would be Jeff Luhnow because of his very untraditional background in getting into
this.
I mean, exactly. Jeff is bilingual. He worked in these different businesses. He's like one of these consulting guys, and he got himself into baseball.
I hate people like that,
that's
man.
That's a key. You get your foot in the door, and there's no telling where it'll end up.
But just think about that. People in baseball don't really like people who get into baseball who aren't considered baseball guys.
And well, they're used to it now because they're taking over the game.
Yeah, now they've gotten used to it. John, what's your take on men shaving their chests? I was at a pool yesterday. It seems to be like the new thing, and it's freaking me out.
It doesn't bother me either way. There's a lot of women that like a hairless body, I'm guessing, and so I don't care. If they want to go to that much trouble, more power to them. And I have no problem saying this. I have been an admirer of women's physiques. And I've been admirer of men's physiques because I'm around many good ones.
Okay.
And, that is true.
I'm always impressed at guys' bodies, the way they work out.
Like Vince Wilfork?
The way they look, and a guy like Vince, yes, that Vince can play as long as he has been and be as good as he is considering the way he looks. And I read the body issue. I'm impressed with both because I know how much hard work goes into it for these guys. And it's very impressive.
What are, let's say, two or three storylines past the Deshaun Watson, Tom Savage one that you're most looking forward to covering during training camp?
The offensive line, how it comes together. Bill O'Brien and Mike Devlin both told me, talking to them during off-season program and right after it, they feel much better about the offensive line, and, you know, we're all freaking out about it. And I think that when Dwayne Brown comes in is part of that. And the other one is how good can this front seven be? How good can the defensive line be? Can they be dominant? Can they get sacks? Can they force fumbles? Because the thing the defense didn't do last year, two things besides ranking number one, is they did not force turnovers. Great defenses force a lot of turnovers now. The offense. And the other thing was they gave up too many touchdowns. So you got to give up fewer touchdowns and you got to force turnovers if you want to be a great defense. And they got a chance. That front seven's got a chance to be the best in the league. And I believe the defensive line will be the best in the league. So those are three things I'm really looking forward to. And I guess we should throw in there the kicking game with Kaimi Fairbairn trying to push Nick Novak. We don't talk about that, but in my nine-part series I finished Friday with special teams, I almost forgot about that, that Nick Novak's done everything really well, but he has a low touchback percentage. And Fairbairn was brought in because he's got a strong arm, but Novak only missed three field goals from inside the 50, and Fairbairn is untested. So will Bill O'Brien and special teams coordinator Larry Izzo want to go with the untested guy with a big leg or the guy who's got the experience?
John, will you watch the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight?
I watched Manny Pacquiao.
You watched that fight?
I did watch that fight.
What did you think?
I thought it was – well, I thought he should have won, but – what's the other guy's name, the Australian?
Horn.
Jeff Horn. I thought Jeff Horn did so much better than anybody thought he would. Teddy Atlas, color guy, had him written off from the beginning. And
get it, 117, 111 Pacquiao.
I don't understand how all three judges could have it unanimous for Horn, because it wasn't. And I read a great column the next day about this is boxing. But boxing fans come to expect things like this, and they'll have a rematch. And so Mayweather, if I don't pay ordinarily pay-per-view, but if I'm somewhere and saw it, yes, I'd be fascinated by it. And if Mayweather doesn't win, you know, it'll be a huge upset.
Boxing could mess up a wet dream. They get all the attention.
Sure
they get all the attention for the first time in a long time. It's a free fight, so nobody's going to feel cheated. Everybody's loving the fight, and then they let the wrong guy win it.
Why do people not freak out over concussions in boxing and MMA like they do in football? They're still getting their brains
really
turned to mush, well, but you have no outcry from people saying this is wrong like it is in football.
At all.
Well, I would say the reason why is because I think that boxing is probably at a place where people fear football will be if too many parents fear their children playing it. Does that make sense? Like, football doesn't want to be where boxing is now. So it's like boxing is already there. So it's almost like a given. Does that make any sense?
Could you imagine how entertaining boxing would be, though, if every high school had a boxing team and just all the best athletes boxed?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine just, I mean,
that's what it used to be like.
It's barbaric and it'd be bad, but like if everybody could go out for the high school boxing team like they do football, could you imagine just how competitive it would be?
I mean, I think it's a good point by you, John, but I would say that it's kind of a given that people are like, yeah, boxing is very unhealthy and you have to be very careful about how often you fight and when you retire, because Ali obviously fought too long and that might be part of the reason why he got Parkinson's, right?
Friday night fights when I was a kid in the 60s was on, and my dad and grandfather watched it like crazy, and I saw Milt Griffith kill Benny the Kid Perea on TV.
You saw that?
Yeah, it was on TV. And and it was a big deal, of course, but I can't remember. I was a kid. If there was an outcry about you got to stop boxing, but boxing was so popular. We talked about it when we were kids. When Ali fought Sonny Liston, everybody talked about it in my elementary school. People went out on the playgrounds and acted like we were Ali and wanted to beat the heck out of somebody. And we were in elementary school, and it was such a big deal back then compared to now.
I mean, there are a few things that are like a fight. Because it's a show, right?
Well, it goes back to
our fight night.
Our cruelest form. Think about it. We've been fighting each other since man was on this earth.
This is true. John McClain is in until the top of the hour, brought to you by Horn Solutions. The manager of the Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, will join us at 9 o'clock this morning. Among the stories in Mad Takes, things I didn't know about former presidents, and we have major sports media news from this long 4th of July weekend. This is Mad Radio.